Busted Pencils is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy!
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
That is what we do here every Tuesday night. Educated educators talking education. One more night, Johnny Lupinacci. Taking a well-deserved break, but you know, we can handle it because every week we're always educating people with education talk. This week, my guest, great friend, and we're going to be talking about critical race theory, again, like we did last week and the week before. But anybody who's on the Facebook Live or anybody out there that wants to go join the Busted Pencils Facebook page and check out the Facebook Live, it's kind of interesting when you're going to see the two educated educators talking education about critical race theory. We have the same head, the same type of beard. In other words, we're old white guys, Paul. Paul Thomas, welcome to the show, Radical Eyes for Equity. How are you, man?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So we need more critical race theory. Radical Eyes for Equity is Paul Thomas's blog. He's been on the Busted Pencils podcast. We've had him on the show before. Been trying to get him, I think, for like the last 7 weeks. And I always ask him, I think, Tuesday morning. And of course, that usually never works out. So this week we asked, I think it was even before the weekend ended that I finally booked
Sunday.
You. Paul's like, yes, I can do it. So, oh, Paul. Okay. So here, we're going to come into this, though, admitting that, putting out there that, yeah, we're two old white guys, and we're going to talk about critical race theory and kind of mix this up. But, you know, I talked about it last week. Actually, your post from the week before had prompted me to say, I want to dig into this, where it's like, what is it? And so we did a real great kind of like a primer show last week, educating people, you know, what is CRT, where did it come from, where is it from, and ended with this, hey, guess what? It's really not happening in your schools anyway, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Paul, though, in the piece, though, we need more critical race theory. Is this more? But you even point out in your article, and as I said last week, we're not even doing it in our K-12 schools. So the third grade down the road from you, are the third graders being exposed to critical race theory in South Carolina?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
One thing I've been saying for a long time is K-12 public school particularly is extremely conservative. Mm. I mean, extremely conservative. And part of that is just tiptoeing around, not wanting to offend anybody. So we tend to pick topics and we tend to have discussions that are harmless, which you can't possibly do anything close to critical race theory or anything critical if you're tiptoeing around topics.
But that's what you know, point this out. Let's talk about this, because I identify, you identify as, you know, we're critical scholars, critical educators. The word critical, you know, what does that mean, though, for a listener right now who says, you know, Paul Thomas, Tim Slecker, you guys identify as critical educators. I don't get it. What's that mean?
Right. I think in the simplest, you know, definition of it is the ability or the urge to step back from everything. Mm. So you step back from everything. I like words like investigate and interrogate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you step back from something, you're interrogating or investigating what is the power dynamic. I try to look at every situation, who has power, who doesn't have power, and is it fair? I think that's another element of it that people don't tend to think about, is almost every situation involving humans is a political situation. And in the broadest sense, political means negotiating power.
Okay.
So who has power? Who doesn't have power? And is there fairness to that? Did the person with power deserve it? Does the person without power deserve that position? And that's a really fairly simple definition, but I think that's a fair definition of what it means to be critical.
Sure. I like that. I mean, yeah, it's this idea, and I've talked about this in different ways in my methods class, and I just want to point out, though, too, Paul Thomas, 20 years in K-12, 20 years in higher ed teacher education, so coming lots of experience. But, I like the way you put in there this question of fairness, because even though we know it's not, quote, really critical race theory isn't happening in the third grade down any street from any neighbor who's listening to the show right now. The concept of fairness, though, I always love going into that because we seem to be okay saying that that's a really important concept to teach because kids as young as you want to go, but I mean, kindergarten, kids understand concepts of fairness or are wrestling with it. Right.
Right. And, yeah, that's sort of brain development, right? Like, so we go through the stages, and one of the first stages we go through is, you know, as children and into especially teenagers, they're obsessed with fairness.
Yeah.
The joke when I was teaching high school is they hated it. We'd talk about the snot fair, you know, because kids would say, "That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not
the
fair."
Snot fair.
that was constant, and I think that's an important. That's one reason I like teaching high school because that's a time when people are starting to come to terms with sort of ethical and moral, controversies and how to navigate that. And it's really traumatic, I think, for children and young adults and teenagers to do that on their own because too much of that has been done for them by adults.
Well, think about the long process because I started off by saying in kindergarten, kids are wrestling with concepts of fair on the playground.
Yes,
this isn't fair. You know, I was a second grade teacher for years, and the concept of those kids wrestling, this isn't fair, Mr. Slicker, this isn't fair, you know. And so there's that opportunity to, quote, be a critical educator in the sense of going, well, let's try to understand what does it mean to be fair. I think anybody listening right now to you and I talking are sitting there saying right now, well, that doesn't sound like anything. I'd be offended against teaching the way you and I are talking right now, putting simple concepts of fairness to kids to wrestle with.
Right. So, and I think that, you know, what's happening, and this is the history of education is really fascinating to me, and I probably know more about that than anything, but a strategy of conservatives historically in the United States has been demonizing and mischaracterizing very simplistic approaches to sort of, you know, these cultural battles that we have. And they don't know what cultural race theory even means. And they're using words like, you know, they're attacking woke and wokeness.
Right.
And so they just find these very brief, simple things to attack, but they make caricatures of them. Mm-hmm. So it's this demonizing where if you step away from it, and this happens to people all the time, if you show people this thing and say, do you like it? They'll say, oh, yes, I like that. And you'll say, well, that's socialism.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a trick,
right.
And it's not fair, but the thing people really aren't afraid of,
right?
So racial awareness and racial inequity, people actually do understand that.
Sure.
But when you make these, you know, these, you demonize it and you make these terms that, and they purposely are making them scary. I mean, we've got evidence of that.
Yeah, we've got a ton of evidence. And didn't even put out the number 844-967-2789, but got a call already. Evan, who's on the phone and wants to talk to
Mark
Paul?
From the SAC intuited
Mark
it.
From the SAC. Are you a bald, old white guy who wants to talk critical race theory?
Well, I'm not bald, but I'm an old white guy.
Okay.
You know, at 63 years old, but and this is to broaden critical race.
All right.
In fifth grade, my teacher, you know, Mrs. Mackey was talking about the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, and let's remember that it wasn't that many decades ago that white was just not just was more narrowly defined. I mean, the Jews weren't considered white. You go back 100 years past that, the Irish were not considered white. And I am generalizing here, and it doesn't approach, you know, the what happened, you know, they worry about the 1619 Project. Well, what do they want to say, that slaves never were part of this country? I mean, that is that what they, slavery was never actually endorsed by, you know, the federal government for, you know, for, you know, the first 70 years of our Constitution. I mean, it is just, and what was tragic, I was watching, I can't remember, it was about, they're talking about the Tulsa riots.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a educated black man who grew up in Tulsa and had not heard of the Tulsa.
Yeah, the Tulsa burning massacre.
The massacre until he was, you know, in college, it sounds like,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't discussed down there. And this is what that gentleman who runs Oklahoma right now as his plantation is saying, we don't want to talk about this in school. I mean, or we don't want to, I don't understand what they're so afraid of that we start talking about.
Well, let's throw that question to our guest. Paul, what are they afraid of?
Well, I think they're just afraid of the truth. And that was I'm so happy you called in and gave that example, because it's fascinating how people have never even heard of that. And again, that goes to our point a minute ago. The way history is taught in K-12 education is incredibly conservative, and it is mostly patriotism. Very little negative. We're portrayed as always doing good, always doing the right thing as a country. And there's this often unspoken idea that we as America, as white American, always doing the right thing. So I think what they're afraid of is they want us to pretend that racism is just something of the past, which is something I said in the, you know, in the blog post.
Right.
And it's recent history. He just said he was 60 something. I'm 60. Several of these governors that are endorsing, you know, these attacks on the 1619 Project and critical race theory, they're about my age.
Mm-hmm.
They all grew up using racial slurs, hearing racial slurs in white only spaces. I know that. I grew up in the same time they did. This is still contemporary reality.
Yeah.
And I think they're just afraid of contemporary reality.
When you talk about that, and Tom, thanks for the call. Really appreciate that. You know, that contemporary reality, Paul, when you bring that in there like this, it's not this distant past. But, you know, as we're coming up here, we're going to hit move into our first break. And when we come back, though, what I'm hearing, and I want to hit this piece, though, is when you say, what are they afraid of? And that me and you, white people, okay, what are white people afraid of? You make a point here, and I'm going to just read this. We're going to move into commercial. We'll come back, and I'll hit it again. But you're like, look, quote, white people perceive a creeping loss of their privilege even as they deny that privilege exists. To be blunt, reaching a state of equity and equality in the U.S. would be a material change in the lives of white people. Change is terrifying to those who are born into a state of advantage. More with Paul Thomas, Radicalized for Equity, Busted Pencils, back after the break.